Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Let's pray. O Lord, as we look at this simple verse from your word, help us to see the truth that's here. Enable us to live by that truth. Put aside falsehood. Live as those who are members of one another and show each other the truth that you've given to us. Lord, we pray that you be with my words and may they be true to yours, and may your people be blessed as we look at this, your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lies. Read a New York Times article about lies. Can you tell when someone's lying?
Some of you may think you can. And some of you may be able to. But not many people can.
In this article, it mentions a survey done by Charles Bond. He found that 2,520 adults surveyed in 63 different countries, out of them, more than 70% believe that liars tend to avert their gaze. Have you heard that? That if someone's lying to you, they avert their gaze? Not necessarily. In general, even professional lie catchers like judges and customs officials perform when tested at a level not much better than chance. In other words, even the experts who would have been right almost as often as if they have just flipped a coin to determine whether or not they were hearing a lie. And most people are like that. Now, there are some. A guy named Paul Ekman, who's done quite a bit of research. If you've ever seen the TV show Lie to Me, that was based on his life and some of his research, where he looked at micro expressions that people have, just different things that happen in their face that do show that they're lying. He and another researcher, Maureen O'Sullivan, went and found truth wizards, people who could tell when others were lying. Do I have any truth wizards here? Maybe, maybe not. There aren't very many that naturally have that ability. They found that 0.25%, so out of 100, you've got 0.0025 people that can tell when someone's lying. Now, he says that you can be trained, and that's part of the thing of the Lie to Me television show, but the fact is that most of the time, people can deceive us. And sometimes, even when they're telling the truth, we think they're lying. We aren't very good at discerning between the two. And another fact is that we have a great deceiver that is seeking to pull us away from our God and pull us away from the truth and pull us away from the things that are right and believe his lies. John 8:44 says, "You are of the Father, the devil." He's talking to the Pharisees who are coming and challenging him. "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." But do we tend to listen to the father of lies? Do we tend to be pulled away from the things that God has for us because we're listening to the wrong one? Well, as we look at this passage in Ephesians, the NIV has, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. A little more literally, therefore each of you must put off or put away the lie. There's a definite article there. Well, what is the lie? Having and putting into the tense that the Greek has, having put away the lie. Paul is speaking to people who are believers. Paul is speaking to people who he knows have been changed from the inside out. Paul is speaking to those that the Holy Spirit has come into and changed their heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And now he says, having put away the lie. Is it completely away? No, we're going to sin. We're going to do things. We're going to be pulled in the wrong directions. But we have Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit working in us. And we can say, having put away the lie. Well, put away falsehood, as the NIV says, or put away the lie. Should you lie? How many of you think you should lie? No hands, good. We shouldn't be liars, because that would just be following the father of lies, the devil. But do we? We have a Father in heaven that is different from the deceiver. He is not the great deceiver. He is one who lives in truth and brings us truth. We should be living our life in that truth, with no masks, no false pretenses, nothing false, telling the truth, even if it hurts us. We should be those, when people look at us, they say, he or she tells the truth. But I think there's even more here. Having put away the lie, is what Paul says. Having put away the lie. What lie? Well, I think he's talking about the lie of following the ways of the world, following the ways of the people that they come out from, thinking that they have something there that's good for them. The lie that following the way of the world will bring you true happiness. That's a lie that's put out there. I need to think about me. I need to see where I'm going to be happy. The lie that following the way of the world will bring you true happiness. I think Paul's referring back to what he has just said in verses 17 to 24. I'll read those and then point out a few words that are in there. Beginning in verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. You, however, did not learn Christ in that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's look at some of the words there. Futility. Going back to what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. Oh, our life is so vain. It's so futile. It's so empty. And it is without God. And people don't see that. They think that pursuing after this or that or the other thing is going to bring them to a point where they can be truly happy, and it won't, if God's not in the picture. Darkened. They don't see the light. They're ignorant. Ignorant of the truth. They don't see what is true. They've given themselves up to sensuality. Just looking at the flesh and being guided by it. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. corrupt through deceitful desires. That's the way of the world. Now, people can look very good when they're going in the wrong direction. We need to make sure that we're not following that path. What is the lie? The lie is Satan's ploy to get you off the path of seeking his kingdom, Christ's kingdom, and his righteousness. The lie is that chasing after the wind, the futility, that the things of this world are going to bring you what you want. The lie looks at the grass being greener on the other side of the fence. So we give up on the covenants that we've made and pursue other things or other people. The lie is responsible for most divorce, torn relationships, the battles that we face at work and at play. The lie is that Satan has something for us that's better than what God has for us. The lie encourages us to play the victim instead of carrying out our responsibilities. The lie pushes us to fill our lives with things that won't matter in 1,000 years. We have no time to do the important things. The lie fills us with the desire to get more and more, and we never have enough. Note what Paul says, having put away the lie. The further context of the quote that I mentioned about Satan is in John 8, and I'll read verses 31 to 47. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will set you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Do you belong to God? If you belong to God, then you have the truth. Don't listen to the father of lies. Don't listen to the ways of the world taking you away from the path that God has for you. If you're dealing with other people, do that in a godly way. If you're a part of a church, which I think you all are because you're sitting here, then deal with each other in truth, having put away the lie, and speak truth. Having put away the lie, do truth, and the truth will set you free. So the truth. There's the lie, now the truth. Therefore, having put away the lie, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now, Paul had spoken about truth before, so some of these things, I seem to remember you talking about that before. Well, verses 15 and 16 in Ephesians 4. We read there, instead, speaking the truth in love, or truthing in love, there's no speaking there, truthing in love, speaking and doing truth in love. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are members of one another. He repeats that same thing. And he says, speak the truth. Speak the truth. I think speaking the truth, he's looking at two sides here. So a little bit different from what he was talking about before. When we speak the truth, we need to speak the truth about ourselves as well as speaking the truth to those who are around us. We're members of one another. Speak the truth about yourself. Are you hurting? Speak the truth. Are you having struggles with something? Speak the truth. Make sure that you're looking at the truth inside of you and living that out and then helping others to do the same. Having put away the lie encourages you to put on a false front, to look good in front of everyone else. The lie wants you to think that hiding is a good way to deal with difficulties. The lie wants you to keep a distance from other believers so that they don't see your imperfections. The lie wants to keep us apart. But Paul says we're members of one another. Speak truth. When we hurt, the church hurts. The body of Christ hurts. And we need his healing. We need him to say to us, comfort, comfort. As Isaiah 40 says. Now, Paul's quoting here as he tells them to speak the truth with his neighbor, each one to speak his truth with his neighbor. He's quoting from Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. So Old Testament or New, God's message hasn't changed. We need to look to him and we need to speak truth to one another and realize that we're a part of his body, a part of his people. And as we speak the truth, both about ourselves and about those who are around us, as we speak the truth, then we will grow. We will become strengthened. We will be able to heal from the brokenness that all of us are involved in, and we'll be able to look to our God and become more like him. The Lord has brought us together that we might help one another to become more like our Savior, to become more like our Lord Jesus Christ, to become more like him so that we can be the body of Christ here in this place and show others the truth of what God has done in redeeming a people for himself. Put away the lie and live a life of truth. Speak truth to your neighbor, for we are members of one another. As you do so, The truth will set you free. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we come before you, help us to put aside any lie that is moving us in the wrong direction. Help us to look to you, to see your truth, to live by it, and then to help others to do the same. Lord, may the truth set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn now to Psalm 51, Selection C.